So, since it's very close to Purim, we'll say something in connection to Purim instead of the parasha. I recently obtained a beautiful sefer. I asked somebody to bring it to me from Chutz La'aretz. It's called Magid HaRakia. It's Droshois about Purim by one of the great Darshanim in America by the name of Rav Daniel Gladstein. This was the first sefer which he published a number of years ago. These Svarim are not available in Eretz Yisrael. I did manage to get hold of the one on Pesach a couple of years ago, and Baruch Hashem was able to obtain through a shliach the volume on Purim. So I have plenty to read about on Purim. I only just got it a couple of weeks ago. I've been through the first few mamorim, and I was very impressed about one particular maimar, which I'd like to say over the main points of it, because it's a big chizuk. The Gemara in Megillah has a very strange discussion. From where in the Megillah are we chayav to start reading? We've got a beautiful story, an entire story. Till the end. Beautiful. But there are three opinions in the Gemara. According to the halacha, how much of it do we have to read in order to arouse ourselves to the nisim and iflois? So Rav Meir says, Gemara Megillah, yutes. Rav Meir says, you have to read the whole Megillah from beginning to end. Rav Yehuda says, no, from Ish Yehudi. That's the ikka start of the story, from when Mordechai appears on the scene, and you can pick up the thread of the story from there. Before that, not so important. About the party of Ahasuerus, who's interested in parties, we can start from Ish Yehudi. Rabbi Yossi says, from Achar HaDvarim O'Ela, Perek Gimel, the first two prokim are just background, but the real story starts Achar HaDvarim O'Ela with the elevation of Haman, and Haman makes a gezeirah against the Jews, and the tables turn over, and we celebrate the victory. Three opinions in the Gemara. What is the ik and nakuda of the nais? The Gemara says, the pasuk says, you have to write kol toikaf, the whole toikaf, the whole strength of the nais. So is it the strength of the nais of Ish Yehudi from Mordechai, or from Haman, or the power of Ahasuerus? What's the halacha and the Shulchan Aruch? From the beginning, we paskin like Rabbi Meir. So the question is asked, it doesn't follow the usual rules of Psak Halacha. The Gemara in Erevin has a list of rules. When there's a Machlokes Tanoim, who do we paskin like? So the Gemara says over there, if you have a Machlokes between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, Halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi, Halacha is like Rabbi Yossi. And no question that Rabbi Meir against Rabbi Yossi, for sure, the halacha is like Rabbi Yossi. So here we have a machlokes, a three-way machlokes, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yossi. The last thing we would expect is the halacha is like Rabbi Meir. In standard machlokes, Rabbi Meir is overruled by Rabbi Yehuda and by Rabbi Yossi. And here we ignore both Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi, and the halacha is like Rabbi Meir. Why should that be? Why should that be? That's question number one. He asks many questions, but time doesn't allow to go through the whole drasha of his, just the crux of what he says. The second question is, what's this whole business about Matanos Levyanim? What's Matanos Levyanim got to do with Purim? We understand Mishlach Monos Mishle Reyehu, that we all understand. It creates friendship between one person and another. Everybody loves each other. That's connected the claim of Haman. Mufuzar Mufayrez Beino Amim. They're scattered. They're divided. It'll be easier to get rid of them. There's no unity among Klal Yisrael. So we show to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam that we're all united. That's why we were able to be mekabel the Torah again. Hodak Yibru B'Meach HaShveiro Yishlai V'Yichan Sham Yisrael V'Kenek Dahar. Just like the initial Kabbonas HaTorah was when Klal Yisrael were united and they all agreed to accept the Luchois, the Kabbalah Rishayna. So Chazal say that there was a reacceptance of the Torah in the time of Purim. But again, because it was the tremendous achdus among Klal Yisrael, and we demonstrate the achdus by giving matanos one to another, mishloach monos. But what's matanos? Matanos generally is tzedakah. Where do we find any connection between Purim and tzedakah? What's the vort over here? We don't apparently see any obvious connection between giving tzedakah and Purim. And it's such an important mitzvah, Matanos Lev Yoinim, as I mentioned just at the end of the first part of the Shia, that the Rambam paskens, and the Mishavruah brings it, that a person should be more mahadrin in the mitzvah of Matanos Lev Yoinim than the other mitzvahs of the Yoim. People spend lavishly on a beautiful seuda, they should spend more money on Matanos Lev Yoinim. People spend a fortune on Shlachmonos. It's not right, according to the Rambam and the Mishnah Berurah. One should be mahader more in Matanos Lev Yoinim than any of the other mitzvahs. There's another interesting facet of tzedakah on Purim, of kol ha'poshet yad noisim loy. So here we can squeeze in one or two dinim of Purim as well, that the Shulchan Aruch says that normally during the year, if you're walking down the street and somebody puts out their hand and says, tzedakah, tzedakah, you don't have to give him. You're not mechoyev. Maybe it's not a genuine case. A lot of them got more money than you have. So you're out a query. And a person has a limited amount of tzedakah money, so he's allowed to weigh up which cause he would like to support more. He's got local causes, he's got family that needs. A person doesn't have to give tzedakah to everybody in the world. But when it comes to Purim, Kol ha'poshet yad noisim loy. Whoever puts out his hand on Purim and says, I'm a poor person, I need money, you've got to give him something. Even if it's just half a shekel, you've got to give him something. You're not allowed to refuse. Kol ha'poshet yad noisim loy. So we see the mitzvah of tzedakah on Purim is very, very severe. It's very chomor. Why should that be? Where does tzedakah fit into the picture of Purim? Okay, those are enough questions to get going. There is a fascinating Chasam Sofer on the Megillah. Chasam Sofer is found in his Sefer Toras Moshe. Toras Moshe, in the second volume on Shmois, so in the middle of there he has Divrei Torah on the Megillah and on Purim. And the Chasam Sofer says, fascinating idea. What was the Ikar Nes of Purim? And he says something quite revolutionary, not what we would expect. He says the fact that we cried out to the Ribbono Shel Olam to abolish the decree, even though it was signed and sealed in heaven, he says that's not such a big nes. HaKadosh Baruch accepted the tshuva of Nineveh. Even a goy does tshuva, HaKadosh Baruch accepts. Klal Yisrael did tshuva. They realized they did wrong by going to the party. They saw Haman made a gezeira against them. They all did tshuva. Esther gathered them all together. 3 days fasting. They did fasting. They davened to Rabbeinu Shalom. Rabbeinu Shalom, listen. Well, it's natural. Rabbeinu Shalom, why shouldn't Rabbeinu Shalom tear up the decree if we all do tshuva and we tear up the decree? That's not a big deal. That's not a big nes. What do you want to say? The tables were turned over, and instead of the Goyim killing out the Jews, so the tables were turned, and the Jews out, and they fought against their enemies. No, so, I mean, it's also not such a wondrous nace. After all, it was given with the permission of the king. Achashverosh first, on the first round, he was pally and friendly with Haman, so he says, whatever Haman you want, Haman, you can do, take the ring and make whatever you want. You want to make zero against the Jews, make zero against the Jews. But the Gemara says that Achashverosh was a hafachfoch. He was a man that was constantly changing his mind. He was mentally unstable. So now he's out of touch with the Haman. He doesn't like Haman. He hangs Haman. And he changes his mind. So now he likes the Jews. Before he liked Haman, now he likes the Jews. But say that. It's not so unnatural. The biggest nes was the fact that Vashti was killed at the party. That was so unusual. Mamash lemala min hateva. He has this party for 180 days. Everything is going finely and smoothly. Lasas kirsum ish for ish. And everybody, you want this wine? You don't want this wine? You like apples? Here's some apples. You like kugel? Here's kugel. Nobody's forced into eating or drinking anything. Vashasiya kados ein oines. You like it? Have it. You don't like it? Don't have it. Achashveirosh was out to please everyone. Another 7 days for Shushan. And then, all of a sudden, the king Achashverosh goes mad. He literally goes meshuga. He sends for Vashti to come into the party of the men in not a nice way. Meshuga that you are. That the way a king treats a queen? Mamish out of his mind. Meshuga. She refused, quite naturally, but she irritated him no end by sending a very insulting response to him. She called him a lot of bad names. And she could have just said, no, you know, I don't want to come like that. No, but she dug him and she rubbed him the wrong way. She called him a filthy name and it irritated him so much. So she was meshuga as well for responding in such a way. So Achashverosh says, right, so we're going to have a mishpat now. What are we going to do with her? Off with her head. I mean, is that what you do because she didn't come to the party? I mean, take it calm, you know. So you can banish her for a year if you want. But so extreme, off with her head. And he was so upset with himself the next day. He sobered himself up the next day. Where's my queen, the beautiful queen? And Chazal say that he didn't really deserve to be the king. The fact that he became a Melech Ashreirish because he married, she was a queen. She was a descendant of Nebuchadnezzar. She was the Malka, really. The fact that he became a king was only in her zuchus. And now he bops her off. So he lost his whole dignity was lost. Mamish, this was meshuga. The whole thing was meshuga. But why did Kosh Baruch Hu do it? To prepare the way in advance, before the gezeira was even made by Haman, that we should have Esther Malka in the palace to be able to plead in behalf of Klal Yisrael. The wheels are already turning before the gezeira was even made. This HaKadosh Baruch Hu was making the refuah keidum lamaka, as the Gemara calls it. The healing, the refuah, is there even before Hashem smites Klal Yisrael. But that is not yet the peak of the Hashgacha. Says the Chasam Sofer, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is taking care of Klal Yisrael at the very moment of time where they're sinning gravely against the Ribbono Shel Olam. Mordechai said, don't go to the party. It's a sakana to go to the party. And it says in Chazal, in the Medrash, that many went and did terrible aveiros there. Kilkalu. If I'm not mistaken, not seeing the Medrash again this year. Shmoina Esrei Aleph. 18,000 Jews went to the party and Rachmon al-Islan did big aveiros. So while they are involved in terrible aveiros, Gil Arayas, at that time, when Klal Yisrael, at the lowest of the low, HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves them so intensely that he's taking care of them and he's protecting them and preparing in advance the refuah, the Yeshua, by putting these meshugana ideas into the minds of Achashverosh and Vashti. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do this? Because he loves Klal Yisrael even when they sink very low. They are cherished by the Ribbono Shel Olam. No matter how low a person sinks, HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves him. We are children of the Ribbono Shel Olam. We are born into the Ribbono Shel Olam. Even if we sin gravely, we are still the children, the cherished children of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Where do we see in Chazal that when Klal Yisrael sin, they transgress the will of the Ribbono Shel Olam, even severely, they still are called children of the Ribbono Shel Olam? It's a Gemara. There's a Gemara in Kiddushin, quite a famous Gemara. The Gemara in Kiddushin, is it Lamed Vav? Yes, Lamed Vav. There's a machlokes in the Gemara in Kiddushin, if Klal Yisrael are called children when they sin, or whether they're called slaves, avodim. We know on Rosh Hashanah, im kavanim, im kavodim. Sometimes Kol Yisrael are looked at as avodim of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Sometimes we looked at as bonim. When this and when that. So Gemara in Kedushin says, bonim atem Hashem alakeichem. You are children to the Ribbono Shel Olam. He loves you. But when is that? Bizman shatem nogim minig bonim. Only if you behave properly, like a child should do, then you call bonim. Ein atem nogim minig bonim. If you don't behave like a child properly, respectfully to the Ribbono Shel Olam, ein atem krim bonim. You're not called bonim anymore. You go down to the level of slaves, being called avodim. Who says this? Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Meir Oimer. Rabbi Meir says, bein kach or bein kach, whether we behave properly or we misbehave, atem kareem bonim, we're still called bonim to the Ribbono Shel Olam, even if we sin gravely. Shenema, as it says, bonim sichlim heima, foolish children. V'ayman, another pasuk, bonim loy emun bom, children who have no emunah in the Ribbono Shel Olam. Zera mereim, bonim mashchisim. Even when we are mashchis, our ways, we're still called bonim. Ramea says that even if we go astray terribly, we are still cherished by the Ribbono Shel Olam and we're still called bonim. Rabbi Yehuda says no. If we behave properly, we're called bonim. If we don't behave properly, we lose that title of bonim. And machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir. According to Chazal, Gemara in Eiruvin, machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir, the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda. Not in this case. In this case, the halacha is like Rabbi Meir. Who says so? Tshuvas HaRashba, a famous Tshuvas. Now, this Tshuvas HaRashba is one of Rav Daniel Gladstein's favorite quotes. At any rate, I've heard it from him many times, but it's the Gemara says, it's a machloikas, and the Rashba in Tshuvas says, it's an exception. Afal gav de Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, halachu Rabbi Yehuda, hocha Rabbi Meir, kroi kodayik. The psukim imply clearly like Rav Meir. Rav Meir brings three psukim to show that even if we mashkisim, even if we behave terribly, we're still called bonim to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Rav Gladstein brings, I've never heard of the sefer, Emes LeYaakov by Rabbi Yaakov Shaltiel. I don't know who it is, Bichlal. He says it was one of the Mekubolim in the generation of Rav Chaim Palladji, who says an ingenious, beautiful pshat. Why over here is it different? Why are you fasting like Rav Meir in this situation, not like Rabbi Huda? Because it's relative to what the Ribbono Shel Olam is thinking. He wants to say the difference between Dinei Bein Adam Lo Chaveiroi, Din and Adam down here in this world, to Din Shamayim. The Gemara says, why don't we pass on like Rav Meir? Why Rav Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, the halachas like Rabbi Yehuda? Rav Meir and Rabbi Yossi, the halachas like Rabbi Yehuda? Why don't we pass on like Rav Meir? So there's a Gemara that says that Rabbi Meir was so deep that the other Chachamim couldn't understand him. He was so deep in his thoughts that they couldn't understand his svaras. It's revealed in front of the Ribbono Shel Olam. There was nobody as high and as deep as Rabbi Meir. Why didn't they fix the halacha of Rabbi Meir? They couldn't understand him. He was so deep, he was so involved in his logic that he couldn't be understood. So how can we pass him if we don't understand the psak? So we rejected him because of his intense intelligence and his depth of thought. Says the Emes LeYaakov, we down here can't understand Rabbi Meir, but Rabbi Shel Olam understands Rabbi Meir. So in this matter, whether the Ribbono Shel Olam looks at us as children or he doesn't look at us as children, the Ribbono Shel Olam can pass him like Rav Meir, because it's up to the Ribbono Shel Olam. He understands Rav Meir fully. Rav Meir says, we're called children under all circumstances. We don't understand that, but the Ribbono Shel Olam understands it. So relative to the Ribbono Shel Olam's decision and how he should behave with us, the halacha is like Rav Meir. That's why we read the Megillah from the beginning, because this is something that we have to relate to the behavior of the Ribbono Shel Olam to Klal Yisrael. And the Nes, which showed how HaKadosh Baruch Hu cares for us so much, is right at the beginning of the story, with the party. The party with Ahasuerus and Vashti brings out how much Ribbono Shel Olam loves Klal Yisrael, even if we sin terribly. And the halacha is like Rav Meir. That's why we paskin, you got to read the Megillah from the beginning, because that is one of the major aspects of Purim, to show how much the Ribbono Shel Olam loves us and takes care of us, even if we go astray. Like the view of Rav Meir, and halachas like Rav Meir, though we're still called bonim. What's this got to do with tzedakah? So there's a Gemara in Bava Basra that brings a famous story of a discussion between Tonus Rufus, the emperor, and Rabbi Akiva. Tonus Rufus said to Rabbi Akiva, why did you give tzedakah? The Rebbe Shalom wants him to be poor. So if the Rebbe Shalom wants him to be poor, you're going against the Rebbe Shalom's will. He wants him to be poor. If it's a gezeira from the Rebbe Shalom, he should be poor. Don't undo his gezeira and give him tzedakah money. And Tonus Rufus says, I'll give you a mashal. A mashal is, a king was very angry with one of his servants and he threw him in jail. And he said, nobody should give him any food. Somebody secretly went to the jail and gave him food every day. When the king found out, he was furious with this officer. Says Tonus Rufus, and we are avavadim of the Ribbono Shel Olam. And since we're avadim of the Ribbono Shel Olam, and he threw us into exile, and he makes us poor, so it's not the right thing to do to go and feed the Eved behind the back of the king. The king's going to be furious with you. Says Rabbi Akiva, I'll give you a different mashal. Supposing a father is angry with his son, and he says to the officers, take the son and put him in jail, and make sure nobody feeds him. And behind the king's back, one of the officers goes secretly and he feeds the boy every day some food. The king is going to be very happy that he's not starving. He'll pat him on the back and says, you know, I'm happy that you fed my boy. I don't want him to starve to death in jail. And we are bonim to the Ribbono Shel Olam, says Rabbi Akiva. But Tonus Rufus says, but you're all in exile here. You're under the Roman control, under the Romans. So you see, the Roman doesn't like you anymore. Says Rabbi Akiva, no, we still give tzedakah even though we're under your rule, under the Romans, but nevertheless, the Rebbe Shalom still loves us. We see from this Gemara that the whole point of giving tzedakah is to show that we're children of the Rebbe Shalom, even if we go astray. Because Rabbi Akiva holds like Rabbi Meir, and this is another reason why the halacha is like Rabbi Meir, because Rabbi Akiva is saying exactly the same as Rabbi Meir, that even when we're in exile, and we sinned, the Kadosh Baruch Hu threw us out of Eretz Yisrael, and we're in Golos, but we're still called banim to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore we have to look after the children of the Ribbono Shel Olam. We have to give them tzedakah, and we have to look after them. So giving tzedakah on Purim emphasizes the same idea that we are children of the Ribbono Shel Olam, even if we sin terribly, and we're in exile. Nevertheless, HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves his children, and if this child is poor, so the king is going to be very happy if we look after him. Like the king who sent the boy into jail, he's very happy if behind the king's back somebody will give him clothes and give him food to eat. So taking care of the Aniyim on Purim is strengthening the idea that we are children of the Ribbono Shel Olam. So we read the Megillah from the beginning, because the halacha is like Rabbi Meir, and we give money to Tzedakah because Rabbi Akiva holds exactly the same as Rabbi Meir, in order to bring out this point, HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us. This is all the Chasam Sofer's idea, that the tremendous nais was that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took care of Klal Yisrael and prepared in such a miraculous way, with Vashti having to be killed and find a new queen, Esther HaMalka, all in preparation for the destruction of Haman. And that brings out the idea of how much HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us. We should feel so close to the Ribbono Shel Olam. He loves every single one of Klal Yisrael, no matter how far astray we've gone. Nobody's perfect. We shouldn't run ourselves down. Purim is a time of joy and happiness because we realize how HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us no matter how far astray we go. And that encourages us to get closer to the Ribbono Shel Olam. He loves us nevertheless. So let's repay the Ribbono Shel Olam and try and improve and do tshuva and get closer to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Good Shabbos.